Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ.
Well, good morning. Glad you are here today. I want to thank all of you that are wearing shirts to honor me that say OU on them. Yeah. I know OU won. I know Arkansas lost. So there you go. So I appreciate that a whole bunch that y'all have done that. I see several people that are here that I hadn't seen in a while. Good to see y'all. Good to have you with us. Mary, sure good to see you back. And I hope that all of you had an opportunity to go to our round robin that we had. And I want you to know that at the end of the round robin, I was tired because I didn't get home before 11 o'clock at any night, and that is about 2 hours past my bedtime, and I didn't like that very much, the fact that I was having to do that, be gone that late at night. But I want you to know that I had three different co-pilots during the time frame. Winfred was my first co-pilot. Michael was my second, and then Michael got booted because Casey was my third, and she was adamant about wanting to be the co-pilot, and so I booted Michael out, and I put Casey in, so that worked out really well. And I want you to know that we had many, 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 many individuals that came with us, that went with us. We had a large group of people. And I want you to know this also, that our first night we had 78 people there at the small church in Pencil Bluff. At Mena, we had 78 also. At Hatfield, we had 80 at Hatfield. And then when we came here Wednesday night, we had 130 here Wednesday night. And these were people from all over. And I want you to know those smaller congregations, for us to be there with them really gives them a boost. And it's entirely appropriate for us to go and be with all those different people and see all those brothers and sisters in Christ that are having struggles the way that we have struggles, that are trying to do their best that they can do. And at Hatfield, they're attendance the Sunday morning before was 16 people. Can you imagine having 80 after just having 16 on Sunday morning? They were ecstatic. And of course, in that little bitty church, it was about the size of this one section right here. We were kind of jam-packed in there shoulder to shoulder, and the scene was bouncing off the walls, and it was just absolutely gorgeous. I hope that all of you could see it that were there. I hope that all of you could hear it that were there. And it was just absolutely wonderful. The preaching was good, except for Tuesday night. Monday night was good. Sunday night was good. Wednesday night was good. I don't know about Tuesday. I got to preach Tuesday. So I don't know. I don't know how good it was, but I will tell you this, that we were glad to have had it. We were glad to have had it. This is something oftentimes that those smaller congregations like that look forward to every year. And that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. Now, I want to talk to you today about something that I am asked constantly about. Constantly. And I get asked that every time I meet with another preacher somewhere. They always ask this question. And the question is, how do you grow your congregation? That's the question. And it's pretty incredible because all of us are looking for ways to grow congregations. And there are congregations that are growing. We are one of them. And I am proud of that we are growing. We are growing in spirit. We are growing in number. We are growing in every way that God would have us to grow. That's what we're doing. And we need to continue to do that as long as we are possibly able to do it. We are so grateful that these things are happening here at Poteau Church of Christ because we are seeing the Spirit move. We are seeing good things happen. In the 3 years Kathy has been here, we've had 147 baptisms. That's incredible. That's incredible. Our numbers, from what I understand, are back up to where they were before COVID. That's incredible. So many congregations have lost numbers since COVID. And I had one this week that told me that that was amazing that we were back up to COVID numbers because they were still about 30 or 40 below their COVID numbers. Folks, you get used to not coming, you quit coming. You can't do that. You cannot do that. We've got to be here. And so they ask, how are we doing these things? How are these things happening? How are these things growing? And I want you to know up front that it's not about the preacher. It's not. And too many times I hear this from people in a congregation, well, we hired a preacher to do that. We don't go and visit people that are sick because we got a preacher that does that. We don't go and visit people that are in the hospital because we got a preacher that does that. No. That's not what it's about. That's not it. Because it's every one of our responsibilities, every person that sits in this room, everybody who is here today, it is all of our responsibilities to visit the sick. It's all of our responsibilities to help the needy. It's all of our responsibilities to lift us, our people up, so that they may know Jesus Christ. It is our responsibility to do so. Your preacher has a job, yes. And I am happy to do that job, and I like doing that job, and I don't want you to fire me tomorrow. But I also want you to know this, that it's not the preacher's job to do a lot of those things. It's all of our jobs. And that's one of the things that I hear so much from other preachers is that they believe, or they've been told, that it's their job to do those things. And I go, you can't. You cannot do those things. And I coined a term that I've been telling people, and y'all have heard me say it before, but I want to get into it today and really talk about it today because I've coined this term, and this term is this, relationship evangelism. Relationship evangelism. There's all kinds of evangelistic thoughts out there in the world that they're going to go out and knock doors, or they're going to send out flyers, or they're going to do this, or they're going to do that. And I want you to know, if you're a person that likes to go and knock doors, go knock doors. But don't be surprised if you don't get any response. Because if they don't have a relationship with you before you knock that door, then the chances are they're probably not going to listen to you in the first place. They're not going to hear what you have to say. And if you hand them a flyer and everything, and then you leave and you say, man, that was great, before they get past that door or past that first garbage can, they're throwing that flyer in the garbage can. That's not how you do it. But if you go to your next door neighbor who is a friend of yours, and you invite that person, you have an entirely different response. Entirely different. That's why I call it relationship evangelism. Because it starts out with a relationship. If you don't have it, then you can't bring them in. Now let's take a look. First thing. All of us have a part. Just because you're not the preacher doesn't mean you don't have a part. Just because you're not a teacher, it doesn't mean you don't have a part. Just because you're not a song leader, you don't have a part. Folks, every person in this room today has a part in bringing people to Christ. I want you to think for 1 second why you're here today. I brought this up the other night. Some of you are here because you're new to the community and you were looking for a place to worship. You saw the sign, you came in. Some of you are here because someone invited you to come. And I would venture to say that the vast majority of you in this room today are here because someone invited you. I am here, and Kathy is here, because someone invited us. My brother-in-law is here because we invited him. There are people who are here today who have been baptized recently because someone invited them to come. All of us have a job. And just because you're not the preacher doesn't mean that you don't have a job. You do. All of us are called to do something. And if you look at this, this is the universal command. You see this in Matthew chapter 28. You see it also in Mark chapter 15, chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Notice that first word up there. It says, go. In the book of Matthew, it tells us, go. That means as you go on your way. That doesn't mean as you are sent to be a missionary. What that means is this, as you walk down the street, as you go to your shops, as you go to the stores, as you go to McDonald's, as you are going on your way, what do? You go and you make disciples of all nations. That is your job. And notice this is not a command for one person to do that, is it? This is a command for every one of us to do it. We are all disciples of Christ. And by being disciples of Christ, that means that we all have to work together to bring people in. And you don't know how much influence you have. You really don't. I see these young men over here, baseball players from Carl Albert. You know how many guys you got a great relationship with? Everybody on your team. Why not invite them? I'd love to fill up that whole section and make all these people move over. Amen. Wouldn't that be great if we moved everybody over? That'd be wonderful. Marilyn would get mad at me. But I want you to know, the more we can bring in, the better off we are, because we invited because we have a relationship with that person. And we can bring them in. And I want you to know that sometimes that works really well, sometimes it doesn't work as well. We've got a, John and I have a neighbor. If you come over to John and my house, we don't have the same house. Houses, Mary's house, Kathy's house. If you come over right now, between us is a neighbor. And if you go, you will see that she has skeletons everywhere. Her favorite holiday is Halloween. She's got skeletons up, she's got lights up, she's got everything up, and she even brings them across the street and she puts them right next to my yard. And I go, well, you know, I don't care, that's all right. Not a big deal. But she is kind of hard to talk to and kind of hard to get along with. And notice I said it that way. Well, my very next door neighbor, Denise, I had been working with her before this other one came in, and I had gotten to the point that I was at the precipice of bringing her here. But the other one called us a cult, and so I kind of got pushed aside. Now, I'm still working on that. We'll see how that goes. But I want you to know that we have an influence on people that we know. Now, if you tell me personally to go and talk to the baseball team or something, I don't have a personal relationship with those individuals. And so they might hear me, they might not hear me. But more than not, they won't. But if you said that, it's entirely different. So when it tells us to go, it's telling us all to go out there and talk to our friends, to our neighbors, to those around us. And I want you to look at this, because in this idea that we first must have that relationship, I want you to see exactly how the apostles went about getting other apostles. Who did they first go to? They went to family members. That's exactly who they first went to. They went to brothers. They found his own brother. He went to a family member. He went to a brother. He didn't go out there into the world and start shouting from the rooftops. No, what he did instead was he went to people he knew. He had relationships with. And what did they do? They came. And notice that message. All he said to Peter was this: we have found the Messiah. Now, this isn't a difficult message. You don't have to know the Bible frontwards and backwards and upside down and right side up. You don't have to know all that. This is an easy message. I think I found Christ. Come and see. I think I have found the Messiah. Come and see. So realize that they went to the people they knew. And that's where it begins. Number one thing is that we got to go to people we know. Invite them. Folks, they need to hear the gospel. How do you get them to hear the gospel? Invite them. Bring them. Get them in. Secondly, look at this one. After we have that relationship, we do this. Simple message, very simple in every way. This is the woman at the well, what she did. She said that she thought she had found the Messiah. And so she went out to the people around and she said, come and see. Folks, this is an easy message. I have found salvation. Come and see. I have found Jesus Christ. Come and see. I have found a family. Come and see. You see, the message is simple. The message is go to your friends and then, secondly, invite them. And the invitation is very simple. Come and see. Come and see. We're here. We're now. I think we have found Christ. Come and see. Now, folks, that's very simple. The woman at the well did not know everything. But she knew she had found a man that knew her. And she says, could this possibly be the Messiah? Come and see. And remember what the people in the community did? They came to see. Here they come. They came to see. Now third, look at this one. This is what we need to do when they come. I told you this story about Kathy and I going to this really large church in Cabot, Arkansas, not too long ago. We go to this really large church. They're so large that they had three different worship services on Sunday morning. They couldn't fit everybody in one, so they had to have three. And we go in and we sit down and nobody talks to us. And the preacher preaches and everything, and we get up and we're leaving, and the preacher doesn't even talk to us. Nobody in the congregation talks to us. All they do is smile at us as we walk by. Didn't know any of those people. And I'm sitting there going, why aren't they at least coming up, say, hey, you know, I don't know you. You know, I did that two or three times this morning already. Why don't they at least do that? They didn't. And I said to Kathy at that time, I said, as my son and his wife were moving to Searcy, I said to Kathy at that time, I said, not only will we not go back, but we won't encourage our son and daughter-in-law to go there. Folks, you've heard about those unfriendly churches? Folks, that's what they were. And here's the deal. I want this congregation to be the friendliest congregation that ever was. And folks, when we have new people that come in these doors, I want you to friend them so much that they say, good night, that's the friendliest congregation I've ever seen. I had a couple back when I was over at Valley View, there was a couple that came in from Searcy, and they made the comment about how friendly this congregation was, and the wife didn't like it very much because she said, that's the huggingest bunch of people I've ever seen in my life. Good. We need to be a hugging bunch. We need to love one another. We need to make sure that no one who comes in these doors here, no one leaves that has not been spoken to. We need to make sure that no one who leaves has not been felt welcomed here in this congregation. And folks, that is everybody's responsibility. If you see somebody here that you don't know, get to know them. Because what you're doing with that is that you're building that number one spot. You're building that relationship. There are people that are here today that I did not know before I came here. I know you now. And we've built some relationships. We do things together. We go to the Ark. We play pickleball. We root for the wrong team. These things happen. We do things together. We are a family. And folks, by being a family, we welcome our family members in. If you're not welcoming somebody in, then you're messing up. You are messing up. Try to make sure you see everybody that comes through those doors. That's your job. And then the fourth thing that you got to realize is this. Once they're here, then we can teach them. Don't try to teach them the plan of salvation out there in the world. They're not going to listen to you. Too many people say these words. All you have to do is believe and you'll be saved. Well, if that's the case, then all of Satan and all of his demons are going to be in heaven because all of them believe. Folks, that's not how it works. You hear people say, if you'll just ask Jesus into your heart. Well, okay, that's great. Go ahead and do that, but that's not salvation. If you'll just say this prayer. Okay, go ahead, say that prayer, but realize that that's not salvation either. There's nowhere in the Scripture that tells us that. Nowhere. And so therefore, you cannot say that that's the plan of salvation because it's not. That's man's plan, not God's plan. And there is a big difference. Now realize that once we get them in, then we can teach them. Then we can befriend them. Then we can do all the things that we need to do in order to bring them to Christ. But realize, that's our jobs. That's what we do. And look at number five. We need to baptize them. Baptism is essential for salvation. Do not think at any point of time that it is not. It is. John 3:5 tells us that unless you're born of the water and the Spirit, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Pretty plain to me. Also realize what it says as well, 1 Peter 3:21, baptism now saves you. Baptism is a requirement. If you are not born of the water and the Spirit, you shall not enter. If you are not baptized for the remission of sin, you are not added to the church. You are therefore not in Christ. Therefore, you are excluded. Therefore, you must be baptized in order to be added to His kingdom, to have a place of salvation, to be forgiven of sin. Those things must occur. And if they do not, then you are not part of that. So realize, we must baptize these people. And then once we have baptized them, once we have gotten to that point, then we welcome them home. Folks, this is our home. This is our family. I want them in our home, in our family. It is imperative that all people of all time come to know the plan of salvation. Every person you see out there in the world today is a soul that needs to be saved. Every person that you see out in the world today is someone who needs to hear the gospel. And I'm going to tell you this, don't try to teach them the gospel out there in the world. Try to get them here. Try to bring them in. Because that's the way they will find their family. That's the way we can build relationships with them. That's the way that we can bring them in, because without it, they are lost. And folks, statistically speaking, if somebody comes into a church or a congregation somewhere, anywhere in the world, and they do not feel welcomed as we did not feel welcomed at that church in Cabot, they're not coming back. They're not. Because they don't have a relationship with you. But folks, if you have that relationship, they will come back. They will listen. They will be taught. And they will come to know the family of God. Folks, relationship evangelism works. It's the only type that I've seen that actually works everywhere it's been implied. Everywhere it's been done. It's the only type that I know works. And even that congregation that Kathy and I went to, that one cup congregation that I talk about, that Kathy wouldn't drink out of the one cup, because 50 other people have drank out of that one cup. That was an incredibly friendly congregation. It does not surprise me in the least that that building was full. Now, we have had great progress over the last 3 years. We have moved the direction that God wants us to move. But there are 10,000 people in Podo, Oklahoma. 10,000. We are 250. How many do we need to bring in? 10,000. When you leave today, every person you talk to, every waiter or waitress that comes to you to give you your lunch for today, every person you see is a soul that needs to hear the gospel. How are they going to hear it? You have to invite. Go out into all the world and preach to every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever God has commanded. And lo, Jesus is with us always, even until the end of the age. I am proud of where we are. I am proud of where we're going. And I'm proud of the additions that we've had. But here's the command: go, preach, teach, invite. Bring them in. Bring them in. Let's fill this congregation. Let's help fill heaven. Adding to the kingdom daily those who are being saved. We have an opportunity. Let's reach out and do it. If you have a need this morning, a need for prayers, or a need to be baptized to be added to that kingdom, we want you to come while together we stand and sing.